Harbour Hustle, where we dig under the surface of companies that serve Harbour District and the surrounding towns and villages to find out more about the people behind the company. Are you ready? Let the story begin. Hello, I'm your podcast host, Martin Robson. Welcome to the Harbour Hustle, where today I'll be chatting with Judith from Blue Horizon HR. After the show, you can check us out on marketharbourbiznetwork.co.uk/podcast, where you can find a transcript of today's podcast, all the links that are mentioned, posts you can share on social media to spread the word, everything you would need to know about our lovely sponsors, all our previous guests, and of course, about our wonderful guest today. Before we dive in, though, let's hear from our lovely sponsor.
Are you struggling with tech jargon? Allegiant Web Services speaks your language. We demystify AI for small businesses and create websites that work as hard as you do. Tune in to our Allegiant WebWise podcast, where we break down how modern digital technology impacts your business. Allegiant Web Services, making technology work for you, not the other way around.
Welcome to this episode of Harbour Hustle, where I'm delighted to be chatting with Judith from Blue Horizon HR. Hi, Judith.
Hi, Martin.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Very good. Just this last weekend, I went to watch Harbour Town play football in the FA Cup, the furthest they've ever got. And they normally get 300 people, and on Saturday they had 1800, which is the maximum. You know, they could have sold more. It was quite incredible. And last night we're all very excited to see the draw for the first round of the FA Cup, where you get bigger teams come in. And we sat and watched and watched and watched and watched, and there were only four teams left in the draw. Harbour Town came out away at Tunbridge Angels. Yeah, I'm sure they're lovely, but
maybe it's a chance to next round.
Yeah, but that's the positive way to look at it. I like it. You're obviously a positive person. That's going to be good. Anyway, enough of the joys of football. Although I'm sure you'll agree, you can't really get enough of the joys of football. Let's talk about you. So, Judith, I don't know you very well. I've only met you a couple of networking meetings, Market Harbour Business Network. So why don't you tell me and the millions of people that are listening who you are, just a little bit about you. We're going to dive into more detail, obviously, and what you like to do outside of work.
Okay, so I'm Judith from Blue Horizon HR, and I try to take the stress away from business owners from managing and employing people. I'm still employed, so I work part-time for a manufacturing business, but I'm hoping that as my business grows, I can step away from that. I've only been running the business a few months. I live in Welford, been there about 6 years, absolutely love village life. It's a really active village, built up a great network of friends, and there's usually something going on somewhere in the village. And equally love Market Harbour. It's our place we go to on a regular basis. So many restaurants and pubs. It's a great place. Moved up from the southwest, lived there about 25 years. And then previous to that, I lived in and around Yorkshire. I married a Yorkshireman, so we had to live in Yorkshire for some of our time. Love walking, love getting out amongst the hills, which is, you know, coming from Yorkshire is inevitable, but there's some beautiful countryside around Leicestershire, Northamptonshire, which I enjoy getting out walking, interspersed with coffee and cake always, and love having in the village, and say enjoy where we live and our three cats.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, it's so interesting, you know, with the kind of walking with hills. I mean, my relatives are either from the southwest or from the Scottish borders, and certainly the ones in the Scottish borders would go, what do you mean hills, Leicestershire? It's like, you know, there's a kind of pimple there, but that's about it. So I don't know what your husband feels coming from Yorkshire, because again, it's kind of flat around here, isn't it?
it's not as flat as some of the southwest and other parts. So where my mother-in-law's from, more on the east side towards Lincolnshire. So there's some hills. There's enough, but yeah, not quite the same as the Pennines. But there you go.
That's the important bit. Just out of my personal curiosity, roughly where in the southwest did you move up from?
So we're in a small town called Calne, just near to Chippenham. South of Swindon.
Mine are down on the Somerset Devon border, so a little bit further. And we end up here. I've been in this area roughly the same amount of time that you've been in Welford, actually. So it is a lovely part of the world, different to what I'm used to, but same for you.
it's nice and central. Everywhere's easy to get to. You know, southwest, everywhere felt a long way. So we're enjoying exploring more of the UK by being based where we are. So it's got a lot going for it.
Yep, that's true. So anyway, you said, like, you know, you're employed at the moment, you're building your business up. So what made you take that decision to step out on your own?
Yeah, good question, actually. So throughout my career, I think one of the things I've enjoyed most has been developing and supporting managers, leaders, and my own teams, coaching them, mentoring them, and actually seeing them go develop, grow, and go on to be able to do more. And I'm kind of sort of been in the corporate HR world for a long time, and you start sort of thinking, well, what else could I do? Where else can I, you know, sort of change direction, but still do the things that I'm really good at and really enjoy? And I love supporting local businesses. We've got to know quite a lot of local businesses in and around Welford and Market Harborough. And I know not always small businesses find it easy to manage their people, and they can't afford to have HR. And I just thought, maybe the two could work together. Had a chat with a friend who's a business owner, and they said, would love you to be able to come and give us some help. And that kind of started it. So took the plunge and said to my employer, look, want to do something different. Want to see if I can set up my own business. Can I have a couple of days off a week? And they agreed. And I haven't looked back. It's just been really, really full on, really, really busy, but loving every minute of it. That's kind of how it started.
That's really interesting as well, that, you know, your employer is like, okay. And I know a lot of people have, you know, what some people might term as a side hustle. They keep it quiet. You know, they don't want anyone to know. Well, obviously they don't want their current employer to know. So it's great, you know, if you can actually do that in a way that means you're not trying to sort of be furtive and yet at the same time advertise the fact that you exist, because otherwise how does it ever grow?
Exactly. And I was prepared for them to say no, and I would have just gone for it. They're getting more commitment from me because they're allowing me. Obviously, we've got some parameters, some areas where I can't try to get into business with, and that's understandable. But the fact that I'm focusing on small businesses and business owners has meant that we can work alongside each other, which is great.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Do you have to speak to the HR people in the company in order to make this happen correctly?
I am head of HR, so. And my team have been so supportive. I'm really fortunate that, you know, they were ready to take on a little bit more. I had an apprentice who was coming to complete her apprenticeship, so she was ready to step up. So the timing has just been right. It's been well at the moment.
Fantastic. I'm so pleased for you. During COVID, I came across my very first example that I was aware of an outsourced HR service. I mean, you know, we're used to different parts of business being outsourced now. Probably, you know, bookkeeping, tax, finance is perhaps the most obvious one. But I came across someone who had the same idea, different part of the world. And I thought, that's really interesting. The more you think about it, the more it does make sense, doesn't it? You haven't got that fixed overhead. But, you know, you've got the help particularly when you grow from quite small to just that little bit further, HR becomes more important. Just on that point, Judith, is there a kind of minimum size at which it makes sense for people to engage with HR or not?
I think it depends on the individuals and the business. I think if when you're taking on that first employee, there's a few bits I get right, but actually there's lots of different ways you can do that. And a lot of people go down the sort of solicitor route, get a contract, get a handbook. But I always say I think there's more to it than just compliance. It's about understanding your business and where you want to go and getting your team, your however many there are, and getting them behind you and really understanding why they're coming to work to support you. So I think a lot of business people often have been managers in the past. So I've come with experience and I've spent a lot of people over the past few months, and they all have different experiences and different backgrounds. So I think there is no one answer. It really does depend on the person running the business, the people in the business, and what your business is. But that's where I kind of want to help people, is to not just be a package that you take out and say, this is suits you. It's, right, let me come and understand you. Let me understand your business. Right, these are the areas where I think I can help and where I can think I can make things better for you.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point, because obviously compliance, is the base bit. You have to do that because it's compliance. It's, legal requirements, etc. It's a classic thing to say that people are the most important asset in a business, because it's what differentiates business A from business B. And so if you're doing things that can get more out of them, then surely that's going to be, better for your business.
Yeah, everybody wants to come to work, go to work and enjoy them, enjoy what they do and do a great job. Sometimes we don't necessarily give them the tools or the environment to do that. And it could be because you've focused on running your own business and that's not something that you think about. And that's the sort of thing that I can help with.
Okay. If I'm a business and I'm thinking maybe I should start looking for an outsourced HR service, is there something in particular I should be thinking about before I engage with you, for example?
I think knowing where your business is going, what is it that, what's your next few years plans? So are you planning to grow, or is it just a really small growth? And what's important? So what is it that gets you up every day? What is it that you, what are your values of your business? So what is it that's that, what's that brand of your business? If you had to describe it. And sometimes people struggle with that, but that's something that I can help people with. But I have found, as I'm looking into businesses, because a lot of business these days, you've got to have a website, you're on social media, your brand and your values come out naturally. But I'm on the lookout for it, and it's then saying, converting that into how does that mean I want people to behave, whether it's providing excellent customer service, or we have to work really hard because this is a really tough environment. It's trying to understand what that is. But I think it's just knowing where you want to go. That's one of the biggest things to understand. And then we can look at, well, okay, where are the gaps? What have you got? What haven't you got? What might make your business better?
Okay, that makes sense. One that's just come to my mind, and I kind of, it's relevant for both of us, I'm sure, is what do you think about the overall discussion about people working from home versus working in the office? Obviously, in COVID, a lot of change happened, but we see in some large multinational companies, that the people at the top are calling for more people to go back to the physical office. What's your whole take on that subject?
I think it's finding the right solution. I think very much there's a compromise. It's not everybody must be in the office, and it's not anybody who can work from home should be at home. We're sociable creatures, and being around people is when you'll get the best out of them. So, but having a bit of flexibility where you can is brilliant. But I work, you know, from my employee status, I work in manufacturing business. Well, the majority of employees can't do their job at home. So there's you've got to be very wary of creating an us and them, people who can work from home, but people who can't. So I always say, look, what's the best way? How are we going to get the best out of this person? What's their setup? And certainly in my current employment, you know, we look at a real mix. It's about being flexible and supportive without any doctrines. And I think that's the thing. Don't force something. Find the right solution for your business.
Okay. All right. Again, that seems to make a lot of sense to me. I know for this business, you know, you've not been going so long. Was it about 5 months, you said? Did I get that right?
Just a few months. Yeah, just a few, two or three months.
Yeah. So even though it's a few months, do you think there's anything, you know, looking back to just before you started or when you started, that now you could go, oh, I wish I'd known that then?
I think, not sure whether I wish I'd known it, but one thing I've really found is how supportive all the other people in a very similar boat to me are. So through all the networking that I've been doing and the number of business owners I've met, it doesn't matter whether they're in a different business or actually in the same field as you. Everybody wants you to succeed. Everybody's interested. Everybody's happy to give you a little bit of support and help. And have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? I've learned so much from talking to people that's either reaffirmed that's what I was thinking or, oh, I hadn't thought about that. So would it have made any difference? I think it might have just really given me more confidence to get going. I did it because everything was sort of lining up and I wanted to give it a go, but I was a little bit nervous about it. But what I've learned is don't be. There's just so many people out there who just want you to do a great job.
That's such an interesting answer, because I remember I went to my very first Market Harborough Business Network meeting a couple of years ago, and I was pretty nervous, and I kind of pitched up. And the reason I went is because they happened to have it at a venue that had llamas. And I thought, well, you know, if I don't really fit in, at least I'll go and talk to the llamas. But it was the same thing. You know, it was surprising how helpful people were. And the guy who was running at the time did this little speech about networking and about just try and be helpful to other people. Don't go for the sell, sell, sell. You know, be yourself, but try and help. And if everybody tries to help, then together we'll all, you know, get benefit. And it always stuck with me. And, you know, we've tried to kind of run, you know, our network in the same way. So it's good to find that not just in Market Harborough Business Network, but across, you know, the different areas that you've met people, you're finding that's the attitude that people have. Really refreshing.
Yeah, definitely. And I try to always think, well, okay, what skills am I transferring here? And I've always worked on it. I need to work in HR, you've got to work alongside managers. And the best way to build relationships with them and get them to listen to you when you're telling them you must do this or you really need to do this, is to have built that relationship by helping them out. So the quick wins, you know, doing something to help out a manager, which maybe isn't exactly what you should be doing, but it helps them out in that instance. And it's just applying that same thing. You know, people are going to build and want to listen to you and work with you if you've helped them out. So it's just, you know, that's really one of the things I've always done. So I've now just got a different network of people who I want to try and help out.
Fantastic. So if you had any mentor, any part of your journey?
Funnily enough, and I don't think many people would say this, my husband, Stuart, is my mentor. In terms of this business, he's the one who really has pushed me and said, you can do it. You know you are good. You know you can do this. But also, since I've started, he's really challenged me. So he's been a manager most of his career and been very successful at it. So he will see things from a very different angle. And that's always been good for me. Sometimes when you work in HR, you are blinded to the way you see it. And it's good to have somebody to reflect and say, actually, no, as a business owner or as a manager, I would want to approach it this way, or have you thought about that? So he not only is he, you know, supporting me, he's challenging me, he's pushing me and saying, oh, we need to do this, you need to do that. But we're doing it together. And I'm getting a lot of IT technical support as well, because that's his field. So yeah, that's, I feel really fortunate for that.
Fantastic. No, that is good to hear. It's interesting. One of the more popular answers is my mother, my father. Yeah. And that tends to be from a, they've done something and inspired, you know, their son or daughter to have a go. But yeah, for it to be your partner as well, I mean, that's wonderful to hear. And so shout out to Stuart. I mean, normally I say to people then, is there any sort of contemporary person that you admire in any particular reason? But I wonder if the answer is going to be Stuart again.
Ah, perhaps, well, to a degree, but I could say Richard Branson. I've followed and read a number of his books, and you know, I do like his mantra, look after your people, they'll look after your business. But actually, I'm going to tip back to some of the stuff that I mentioned earlier. There's a couple of people who worked for me, and then I worked alongside and I employed them and developed them, who have gone on to bigger and better things. And I have a huge admiration for them. One of my team, Michelle, she now runs her own business. She's been running it for a little while. But before that, she'd gone much more successful than I have in the world of HR. And then Rachel, who I worked alongside from a learning development point of view, again, she's gone her own business, and she's actually relocated to the Netherlands as well. But I've admired them. What they've succeeded, and hopefully feel that maybe I played a little part of their success.
Yeah, it's always nice when you see people you've worked with go on, you know, to be successful, and feel that you've helped them in some shape or form. That's great. Slightly contentious question, so swerve it if you want to, but I noticed you mentioned two ladies there. You are, of course, yourself a lady. In my experience, having worked in corporate world before I went out on my own, the vast majority of people who worked in HR were women. Why do you think that is?
It's a really good question. I've worked, funnily enough, I've worked for men mostly as heads, directors, HR directors. So often they're more at the senior level. I've had a couple of men in my teams. I really haven't got to the bottom of the answer, and I don't think the HR world has either. I think it's getting better, but you know, you look at what the CIPD are doing, and you go around any HR conference, and it is, the majority are females. And the only thing I can think is that a lot of people move into HR from sort of an administrative point of view, office managers. They start doing it, and people migrate that way. Recruitment, although recruitment is a little bit more 50-50. But no, I haven't really got to the bottom of it. But those are my best guesses.
Okay. All right. I'm sure it's a kind of separate podcast that we could delve into in quite some detail, because obviously, you know, the reverse generally applies to the IT world. And again, there's no real reason why that should be, but yeah, we'll perhaps come back to that in another episode then. Let's switch out and go for confession time. What do you think is the biggest mistake you've made in business, and did you learn anything from it?
I think, and I discovered this probably 5 or 6 years ago, not believing in myself. I didn't know whether or didn't think I was doing a great job. I was always thinking at some point somebody's going to come in and say, Judith, you're not really doing a good job here, or there's a better way of doing everything. But I finally twigged that actually, do you know what, I can do this. And stand up for what you believe in. The HR world has a lot of different views, and sometimes you feel like you need to go with what's been doubted at that particular time. But I have some quite strong views on how we should run, what's the best way of getting people to perform and get the best out of them and motivate people. And it's not always the thought of the day, but I've now learned to stick by my principles, and because that's what has made me successful. So I think I should have thought about that and lived by principles a little bit earlier in my career.
Okay, I mean, that's not an easy reflection to make sometimes about your own self, is it? You know, it's perhaps easier to make it about other people in a helpful way. So, yeah, it's good to go through that and get to a point where you realize that. You talked about having some strong views about how to motivate people. Is there any one sort of tip that you could share with us?
Yeah. Don't score people. So, and that's probably more you find in the larger corporate world, where we need to put people in a box and we need to number that box and we need to count how many of those people. People aren't numbers, people are people, and everybody's individual. And for me, I just put the individual where they are, support them, find out what motivates them, what development, what learning do they want, and do that. Let's not try and put people into boxes. That's really one of my pet hates.
Okay. Hopefully for people listening to the podcast, you can feel the emotion in Jude's voice there. If you're watching it, then you know you could just have the sound off because you'd see it in her face. How much you believe in that. So let's just flip it around 180. We talked about, you know, big mistake. What about your proudest moment?
I think because I'm so enjoying my business, one of the things that I've done quite early on with one of my clients, a really simple thing. It was, they had a handbook, they weren't happy with it, didn't like the language, didn't like the layout. So we worked on it, and I produced it. I put their story in, put their values in, highlighted why it was great to work for that company, and produced a document, put it in a, you know, a lovely fancy folder. And the point that I handed that over to the business owner, she was so pleased with it, so thrilled, and that was made, I thought, well, I've done that, and guess what, I've been paid for it. For me, I was like, yes, I'm proud of myself now. So yeah, that's been my proudest moment since I've started my own business.
Fantastic, congratulations. Yeah, it must be quite a moment, like you say, when you've done something that A, you're proud of, B, it's been really good for somebody else, and C, you've got paid for it as well. I mean, that's the win-win-win, isn't it?
Yes.
So I borrowed this idea from Stephen Bartlett. Apparently he's got some podcast or other. I don't think anybody listens to it, but in it, he gets a previous guest to ask a question for a future guest. And Carmen came on the show a little while ago and she said, is there any particular book that's helped you in your business?
I wouldn't say I've got a book that's helped me in my business, but a book that has stuck with me for a very long time. And it's a book called Who Moved My Cheese? And it's, I don't know if you've come across it, Two Little Mice, really humorous. And it goes back a long while ago. I was working for a business, leading a team, and we were about to be bought by the company. And that was quite a scary thing. We knew there was going to be a lot of change. So I went out and bought the book, made all my team read it. And then we had a common language about, and when we were, things were happening that we weren't happy with. And it just, you know, have you got your trainers on today? You know, we would say things that would just get each of us going, and it motivated us. And that book stuck with me, and I've referred back to it with future teams and in individuals that I've co-mentored. It's a really good grounding in how to live and enjoy change in your life.
Fantastic. And as ever, listeners, viewers, we'll link to that book as well on the show notes. So if you go to the website afterwards and you want to find out more about Who Moved My Cheese, then it'll be on the website there.
They've got a whole website all dedicated to Who Moved My Cheese. <All there.
laughs> We'll just have a little link to it so people can go down that rabbit hole if they want to. So what do you think? If you weren't working in HR, you're obviously doing that as your business now, you know, it's been your background in corporate world as well. Do you think there's another career you would have done or you'd still like to attempt?
There's a couple, I think. So I did start to learn about psychology. I did start a psychology degree. Didn't get on with it. Had got to the point I'd learnt enough through education, wanted to get out into the real world. So I sort of moved away from that. But I often wonder, what if I'd stayed with that? I am still very fascinated by how the mind works, how we operate, and how you can retrain your brain and the way you think. So that's always a little bit of a side interest for me. But in terms of going forward now, I'd love to have a cattery. I could just spend all day looking after the cats.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you did mention earlier on you've got some cats. How many do you have?
So we have three, although we say we have 2.5, because one of them goes away for quite a long spells of time. He's just come back from being away about 8 weeks. And that's his youngest. He's done a stint of 6 weeks. We know where he goes. Early on when he started disappearing, we got one of those trackers, put in him and watched him walk 1.5 miles to a farm just outside the village. And then he just spent the whole time around that farm. And now that we know that's where he goes, I can check in with the one of the people that lives up there and just say, have you seen a black cat recently? I think he's there again. But yeah, love them all. They're all got different characters. They all bring something different. But yeah, that's our cats.
Yeah, no, we live on a small estate of 50 dwellings, either flats or houses or whatever, you know, mixture. But it's on the right on the edge, so it's close to countryside. And we have a cat who's not ours, who comes and visits regularly. But of course, you know, he visits everyone regularly. He used to have one of those Apple Tag trackers, but he got very, very good at taking it off. So somebody set up a WhatsApp group for the whole estate. And basically, it just turned into Ted Watch. So it's like, where is Ted now? And, you know, here's his tracker, but he's not in it. So, yeah, he was a little Houdini. But yeah. Absolutely lovely chap. So I know that despite the fact we've covered a lot of very interesting stuff, both about you and about HR and about performance, that one of the most burning questions I will get, and I know this is the case, is what's the name of Judith's cats?
Yes. Okay, so we have Zig. We had his brother Zag. Unfortunately, Zag didn't live with us very long. And then we have Bo, who's the one who disappears, and Bear, they're brothers. So they're jet black. Zig is ginger and white. So, yeah, those are the names of our cats.
Fantastic. So there you go, listeners. I remember what you told me before. So, yeah, please don't give me a hard time because I didn't find out. So there we go. Anything left on the bucket list, as they say?
I think, yeah, so if I came into some money, won the lottery, I think living abroad for a time, somewhere sunnier, whether it would be just for a few months of the year or go for a year or something, that's definitely on the bucket list, somewhere where it's sunnier, looking out the window today.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, that's great. I'd highly recommend it. And just as an aside, depending on where it is you want to go, you really don't need that much money to be able to do that. What you need is time. Having lived in a few different countries, that's what I found. Anyway, any hidden talents you want to share with us that, you know, maybe Stuart's not aware of? The doors are shut. He can't see.
Oh, he probably knows most of my talents. One thing people often don't know about me, I do play the piano. Not as well as I wish I could, but enough to play some pieces that I've played for years. It's a great way of relaxing because you have to really focus. So you do have to switch everything else off. So yeah, that's probably something people don't know about me.
Well, that's worth remembering. The reason being that you know, we go to a different venue every month in the network, and one of the ones we pitched up at had a full piano there. And everybody's looking at everybody else going, can you do it? Can you do it? Right. So yeah, next time, if we end up back there, we'll know exactly who it for.
I should have kept my mouth shut.
No, don't hide your talents. I'm sure you told me that earlier in the podcast. Brilliant talking to you, Judith. If people want to find out more, where should they go?
So I'm on Instagram as Blue Horizon HR, LinkedIn. You can see me as Judith Chadwick and Blue Horizon HR. And I also have a website, bluehorizonhr.co.uk.
Fantastic. Okay. And of course, we will link all of those, as we said before. Two more questions. There's normally only one, but I'm going to go for two now. Perhaps one I should have asked much earlier. Why Blue Horizon?
So took a lot. It wasn't Blue Horizon right from the beginning. Took a lot of thinking. But a lot of company names are two words, a colour and a thing. Blue was obvious. That's my sort of birth colour. I love blue. So that was a no-brainer. But Horizon, in a way, this is where I want to go. This is helping me maybe see more horizons in the future, talking about living abroad, get a little bit more. But also, I want to sort of help people see to the future and grow. So yeah, that's how we came up with Blue Horizon.
Fantastic. All right, and final question is, what have I forgotten to ask you?
I'm not sure there's anything you haven't. I think we've covered quite a lot of ground. The only thing I can think of is perhaps what might be next for me, what haven't I learned yet? And interestingly, links back to you, how can we use AI in managing people? How can we utilize it? Because it's not something that you would necessarily put with managing people and getting the best out of them. And that's something I want to explore a little bit more.
Fantastic. You're the first person who's answered that. I'm like burning to talk about AI because I know it can help so many businesses, and particularly, you know, smaller local businesses who are most of the audience for this podcast. So yeah, without me starting to go into a whole thing about AI, I'm really pleased that you asked. We have me and my business partner have a separate podcast that is all about practical use of AI in business, as opposed to, you know, a lot of the hype and the misinformation that surrounds it. But you're quite right. I've spoken to lawyers who are like, well, you know, in the legal field, we can't possibly use it, you know, because of legal considerations, and then in finance because of, you know, regulations of industry. And HR, you know, you talk about, well, hang on, that's a very human kind of facet of business and of life, and all of those things are true, but actually all of them can benefit from different uses of AI. At the end of the day, anything that makes our business life easier so that we can focus on whatever our business is about has got to be something, you know. And just very, very quickly, I mean, I was talking to my mum about washing the dishes and a dishwasher. And she's like, well, yeah, of course I wash the dishes this way by hand for 40 odd years. And yes, of course, I've got a dishwasher now. I'm like, but they do the same thing, mum. She's like, yeah, but that one's easier and allows me to do other stuff. That was my 80-year-old mum explaining AI, basically. So anybody's interested, then get in contact with me, Martin Robson, about AI. But let's get this podcast back onto Judith, because that's where it really should be. Thank you very much, Judith. I've absolutely loved it. As I say, the transcript of what we've talked about, links, stuff that we can use for social media, that's all going to be on the website. And listeners, like I've said before, you'll see on the website, you know, little clips that you can use on social media. They're yours. Go use them. You know, they're not just for me, not just for Judith. If you've enjoyed something about this episode, or you think there's something that someone could learn from it, share it. And you know, let's do this a few months into her business. Let's help her, because we know that she can help us. And on that happy note, I'm going to say thanks again, Judith, and goodbye.
Pleasure. Thank you.
You've been enjoying the Harborough Hustle, inspiring talks with local entrepreneurs. Please take a few seconds for whichever platform you're on, Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever, to give us a thumbs up, a five-star review, or a like, and please subscribe so that we know you're out there and so that you get to know about future shows. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the show, please pop over to marketharboroughbiznetwork.co.uk/podcast for all the details, where you'll also find a summary of today's show, a transcript, some goodies, and all the links mentioned today. There's a